Everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. This is going to be an experimental Friday Filibuster, like Spinal Tap's jazz adventure. What was that called? I don't know. Yeah, so it's going
to be... They're playing only bass.
That's right, yes. So we're kind of just the three of us. It's me, Mac.
Hockadoo.
Daryl.
Hello.
Eric is again on sabbatical, so...
back in that dirigible.
Yeah, back in the dirigible, correct. So the three of us and... Daryl already confessed before hitting the record button that he's got very little to talk about. When he was talking about his movie he was going to talk about, he decided to say that is not worth talking about. So
it's not.
So instead of subjecting you, the listener, to unlistenable dreck, we are going to subject you, the listener, to passably listenable dreck. So
we'll see.
So we're going to do one of these ambush topic lightning rounds, which we had done previously, but we're going to do another twist to it. So basically, these are just quick-hitting ambush topics that we just toss at each other for a few minutes, and that'll wrap our podcast. But the twist here is we are tabling our real ambush topics, and now we are limiting ourselves to just things that we see in the room we are currently recording this podcast. So very much an I Spy ambush topic excursion. So I Spy ambush topic high a lie. That rhymes, right?
Sure.
All right. So just whatever we see, and you got to convert it into some kind of ambush topic. Okay. So now I will go first to make it easier. Basically, I am just looking at this is real easy. Just looking at a stroller, so a baby stroller. So just jump in whenever.
Yeah, the movie Undercover Blues. Has a great bit where, it's a husband and wife who are spies together, and
yes.
they go on missions with their baby.
Dennis Quaid?
Yeah, Dennis Quaid. And there's a really funny bit where Dennis Quaid is using the baby stroller as a weapon against some attacking foes or enemy spies.
Yeah. All right, nice. And good mention, Undercover Blues.
All right, I'm going to go with an episode from this past season of – it's season 3 of Louie, in which Louie is begged by a desperate mother who's in his whose son is in his daughter's daycare to take care of the son for the afternoon because she has to do something ridiculous. And he doesn't want to, and the girl doesn't want to, but he can't say no. So he agrees, and the lady runs away, the mom runs away, and just as the mom runs away, the crappy little kid pushes a stroller into the road in the middle of New York City traffic. He's a pretty crappy little kid.
That is crappy kid. Jeez. I'm going to jump off of that with the scene in Speed where Sandra Bullock blasts straight into a stroller, but it's actually just a homeless woman's stroller full of cans and recyclables.
Of course.
Got him.
Too bad.
Nice. Okay, Mac, what do you spy?
Let's see here. I've got all kinds of stuff in my room, so let's start with ancient Egypt.
Well, I guess I'll go with...
I have a Pharaoh action figure from the McFarlane.
Very good. I go with something we've talked about, the Egyptian cult in young Sherlock Holmes that still freaks me out to this day. So
The Ramitab.
The Ramitab, yeah. Something about those crazy crackers just didn't do much for me. So yeah, it still freaked me out.
All right. Well, this is more of a generalist perspective on this ambush topic, but I'm going with the whole Mummy King Scorpion Returns saga.
Okay.
Yes.
The Brendan Fraser one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Brendan Fraser junk and The Rock.
That is kind of junky. That stuff has not aged well.
No, well,
even with a lovely Rachel Weisz in Running Point, it's rough. And that has got one of the most annoying kids ever.
Oh, man, the second movie. Yeah.
Second movie, one of the most annoying kids ever. Yeah. Terrible. And then The Scorpion King was pretty rough, too, by the way. I think, it was one of The Rock's first movies, but that was rough. So. All right, Mac.
Let's see. Oh, now it's up back to me. Okay, in Marvel Comics, the superhero Moon Knight got all his weapons from ancient Egypt, delivered to him by the ancient Egyptian god Khonshu. So he had an Ankh, and he had these little beetle things that are exactly like Batman's batarangs. And He's got some kind of gold wristbands. They all have deep, important meaning to him, though.
Yes. The Moon King? Is that his name?
Moon Knight.
Oh, Moon Knight. Gotcha.
Yeah. He's nothing like Batman. Not at all. Which, that was sarcasm. He's a total ripoff of Batman.
Okay. Daryl.
All right. Mexican food.
Oy. Mexican food, huh?
Well, there's that bit in the Three Amigos when they're being welcomed into the small village. The villagers are giving them this big meal, and I think it was Martin Short asks, "Do you have anything other than Mexican food?"
Nice, let's go. Jeez, let's see here. Okay, this is the best I could do. The State. One of my all-time favorite sketches is the mailman who takes to delivering tacos instead of mail.
What?
Yes. I've not seen that. Please seek it out immediately. But yes, he's a mailman with an existential crisis. He's taking to delivering tacos, and he has a extended conversation with Michael Ian Black about that aspect. So, if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, I am going having not really very much to add to this topic, given that I just saw. Something. I'm going to go with the 2006 movie Hot Tamale, starring Jason Priestley and Harlan Williams, about a
Together at Last.
Yes.
Yes. About a kid that travels from Wyoming to Los Angeles and comes across a motley crew, you might say, of various people.
All right.
Whether the kid actually eats tamales in it, I can't say because I don't remember. But I would imagine there's something to that effect, given his driving trajectory.
All right, very good. Let's see, what do I see here? How about a fan? So fans. In fact, I'll make it a little tougher. Death by Fanboy.
That's just what I was trying to think of.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know if anybody dies, but in which movie is it? It's one of Jackie Chan's movies where I think Operation Condor, one of those, where the ending takes place in like this big like airline hangar type of place, and basically what part of the wall opens up, there's these giant fans that blow everybody against the wall, and the fans close and everybody falls down to the floor again, starts fighting, and the fans open up again and everybody gets thrown back against the wall. A classic sort of Jackie Chan over-the-top fight scene.
I think what that is. What was it? Did you figure it out?
I'm pretty... It's one of the two Operation Condor movies.
Okay.
And...
I've seen either.
But in China, like, there was one and two, and then they reversed him when they released him in the U.S., so our number one is their number two, and their number two is our number one.
I think I'm going a little bit outside the realm here, although you know how it goes. But I'm going to go with not in a movie, but on a movie set, the death of Victor Morrow on the Twilight on the set of Twilight Zone, the movie, which, if it didn't actually happen by the helicopter blades, technically a fan.
Yes, technically.
They were running when the helicopter crashed.
Very good. Well, a couple of tricks. I think you could do the ceiling fan in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, right? The thuggy guy got hung from that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to go with jet turbines or turbines, everyone. I mean, they're kind of fans. So that dude getting sucked into it in a Die Hard 2, Die Harder. Remember that? Yeah, the corrupt general gets sucked into the jet fan. So that was pretty cool. So, yeah, it always ends up with – and then since we've established helicopter blades, R&D fans – even though I've never seen the film entirely, I just have a lingering image from the last Boy Scout of some guy falling into helicopter blades.
There was something that I remember a movie – that was where I originally got the thought. I remember a movie where somebody got their head chopped off by helicopter blades, but I can't think of what it was. So.
Is it Dawn of the Dead?
No, it was not.
Zombie climbs up on the thing and gets the top of his head.
Yes, that's true. But that's not what I was thinking of. It was more of like a war movie.
Oh.
where it's like a tragedy that had happened rather than the hilarious accident it deserves.
All right, that'll come to you. All right, Mac, what do you got?
Let's see. Okay, volcanoes.
Ooh, good one. That's not bad. I think I reviewed this on Blu-ray or maybe HD DVD way back when, but Dante's Peak. Okay. Remember Pierce Brosnan? And who was it, Pierce Brosnan? It wasn't Linda Hamilton, was it?
Oh, boy.
I need to get our intern on that right away.
I don't remember. I just – that's when I went back to
– It was, right?
Was it?
Yeah,
oh, man.
Yes.
So, yeah, that wasn't actually bad. As far as the disaster movie, that was pretty effective, and they had some interesting beats. Like, they had one where they had to cross a lake that had turned to acid. You remember that one? That was kind of cool. I don't know. So, that's about all. Actually, that's all I remember is the acid lake. But I do remember saying, oh, that's a pretty good volcano porn.
All right, I'm going to go with the episode of Doctor Who where they travel to Pompeii. In the days right before the explosion of Vesuvius.
Right. That was a good one. Yeah.
It was a good one.
And
it
crazy also monster at the end. Yeah.
Crazy monster at the end, and it actually has the new Doctor and Amy Pond, the actress, in that episode. Which is an odd coincidence that it's both.
Back to me. Well, the reason I said volcanoes, there's not an actual volcano in my living room. It's I have my Star Wars Episode III set with the giant volcano. And I have all the characters positioned around it with Obi-Wan and Anakin fighting at the top.
Nice.
So, yeah.
It's good. That works.
Yeah, so that's I'll go with Star Wars Episode 3. And everyone always asks, you know, if you're that close to the volcano, you can't breathe because it's burning up all the oxygen.
Yes.
So my explanation is that they were using the Force to breathe.
Right. They had that, what's it called, midichlorians?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
We never really heard. We never really heard from them, though.
Yeah, there was one mention of the STD that is Jedi.
Yeah,
and then it was sort of forgotten.
Yeah.
Thankfully, to the betterment of the next two movies.
Yeah, but it's kind of a little bit of a game changer to just let that info.
It sort of is. Oh, I gave you a Force Simplex 2.
All right, go ahead, Daryl. What do you see?
Sound equipment.
Okay. Masters of the Universe, baby. That's, there's never been a film with more destruction of sound equipment than in Masters of the Universe. Whether it was the setup for the prom in the high school, that got just torched completely by Beastman and Blade and the boys, or then the all-out assault on that guy's, stereo equipment store and just flaming keyboards and guitars and really, it is just shocking, the violence that is leveled against sound equipment.
I still can't believe, like, He-Man and all them, they travel all the way to Earth, they go to the music store, then they go all the way back to their planet. That's it.
That really is it, isn't it? Like, if you boil down the plot, they travel to Earth, go hang around a music store for a little bit, and then go back home. You're right. I think you've distilled that pretty well. And on the way, Man-at-Arms eat some chicken. So.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So I guess they did have more to their Earth.
They did have a few more adventures. What a great.
Let's see, sound equipment. Well, I guess the most famous one, or one of the most famous ones, is that opening to Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
That's... Marty tries out the giant speaker.
Yes.
And gets him blown across the room.
Very good. Yes.
All right, now, given that was my answer.
Excellent.
Oh, no.
let's see what I can pull up real fast. All right, well, because I've got nothing better, and this is a lightning ambush round, I am going to go with a speculation that New Jack City had a scene that had somebody with huge woofers in their car banging down the street.
Okay, I think that's
clear speculation. It's been 20 years since I've seen that movie, but if you – I would bet a dollar that it's there.
Okay. All right. I think you're safe in that bet. Okay, one more round of this tomfoolery, and then we'll wrap this up. So, okay. Let's see. How about joystick? A joystick. Or an arcade joystick. Or an arcade machine. And there's a layup in this for you, somebody. Take the layup.
I think I might have the layup.
You'll go with it.
Freddy Krueger in the Power Glove?
Oh, no, but that's excellent.
No? Oh, that's not...
That's great, though. Oh, wow. That's... Oh, that was so terrible. And he says, now I'm playing with power, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
And then after the two run out, he's watching the screen. He's like, oh, these are great graphics.
Oh, man. That is... I mean, compare that to Nightmare on Elm Street, the original. It's just amazing, the difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's insane.
It is insane.
It's insane and stupid. Which one is that in?
That's in part six, which is Freddy's Dead, the Final Friday.
The Final Friday? Okay. Yeah, that's really pathetic.
I mean, it's just, like, if you're just chasing the arc of a character over a course of a movie franchise, is there anyone who makes such a departure than Freddy Krueger, huh?
Yeah, he really...
You could argue that at that time he had successfully killed almost all the teenagers in the town, so he was, like, free to, like... You know, be more relaxed about things.
Yeah, he's done with killing, so it's time to sit down to some, you know, Super Nintendo.
Right.
You know, it's nothing wrong with that. You got free time, go ahead.
Oh man, I just pulled it up on YouTube real quick. Freddy Krueger playing with a power glove. Oh man, that's crazy. This is terrible.
It's so terrible. That's so terrible. And you know, it's not like they're ever like, you know. Friday the 13th, I think, personally had a resurgence with Jason X. Friday the 13th just kept going downhill.
Right.
And never stopped. And even you've got like, whatever Wes Craven's New Nightmare, that's just, I mean, that's, it's better than say, Freddy's Dead the Final Friday, but it's not necessarily better as far as the character's concerned. Right. So yeah, that series, it's reached peak at four. I think that's the Dream Warriors.
And then that's just three, four is the Dream Master.
That's the Dream Master. Maybe it hits peak at three.
Is Dream Five is five the Dream Child?
Yeah, five's the Dream Child, and that's the one with Alice Cooper and Roseanne Barr as his step parents, foster parents. So, you know, that series has proven itself classy.
Okay. All right. Where are we? Okay.
All right. So
that's to you. Yes.
To me, I'm going to go with Alex Rogan's entry into the world of The Last Starfighter.
That's it. That was my layup, yes.
That was your layup?
That was my layup, yes. Absolutely. Yes. And my backup would be a film I've talked about. I think it's Nightmares, then the Emilio Estevez section where he gets sucked into the Bishop of Battle. So, fantastic. And he runs away from, like, really proto, you know, wireframe CGI head. So, and he gets trapped in the video game forever. So,
that's one of those movies I used to always see on the shelf at the video rental place, but nobody ever got.
Right. And it would show up on, like, TBS constantly, too. For a while there, so it's gonna get away from it. Okay, home stretch. Go ahead, Mac.
Oh, it's me again. Okay, Masks.
Hmm. Ah, that's a broad topic.
It is. I will avoid the movie Mask with Eric Stoltz. It's a very sad movie. So,
we should have them spend the next hour talking about Mask. Eric Stoltz was so good in that. He so deserved that Oscar and Cher, and she really came. She really brought her A game.
She really did.
Yeah. And wasn't it sad?
It was sad.
Very sad.
Anyways, I'm stopping. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Thank you. Masks. Okay. See, trying to think of a more esoteric choice than like Batman or Poison Ivy.
Mask.
Or the mask. Yes.
Mask. Yeah, we can all do better.
Poison Ivy doesn't wear a mask. She's just this hot redhead.
She doesn't have, like, the little leaves on her eyes?
Around her eyes, but it's not, like, covering her.
Gotcha. It wasn't
Oh, wait, we're not talking about the Drew Barrymore movie?
No, not that one.
Okay.
Not that.
It gets confusing with the nomenclature.
Right. I guess I'll just give you this. Speaking of Batman, I guess, on the first original Tim Burton Batman, remember when the Joker was messing around with his girlfriend like trying to turn her into some art, right? And she was wearing that mm-hmm. mask.
Yeah.
I always just remember thinking that it was going to be really disgusting under there, but it really wasn't. I was trying to, I mean, right? It was
like some. She had like a scar, like a burn on,
yeah, it was
on
a
her
scar
cheek.
Or something. Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, yeah. That she was going to take it off and she would look like Eric Stoltz from Mask.
That would have been brilliant.
That would have been.
Of course, there's the follow-up scene where the Joker just puts the mask on the mantle and it leaves it up to your imagination what he actually did with her. Mm.
Good point. That's right. And he smashes it, too.
Yeah.
Mm. That was a deep movie.
It was.
All right. So I'm going to go with something more along what Dave was hoping for. It's a little Canadian movie called Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter.
Fun.
Came out about, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago, where Jesus, back from the grave, obviously, teams up with the masked El Santo to fight vampires in Canada, apparently. So, yeah, El Santo.
Mm. Great. Sounds like a winner.
Would you personally not watch a movie called Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter?
I don't know. Yeah, that would be an interesting
And this is long before the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, that sort of thing going on. Like, this was many years ago. This was an original idea at the time.
Good point. Okay.
First of all, that El Sampo, that's a spoof of Santo was a spoof of El Sampo, who was an actual Mexican wrestler who made a bunch of action movies like in the 50s and 60s.
No, no, right? That's still El Santo.
Oh, same guy?
No, it's not the same guy.
Oh, but same like
in an El Santo
it's a
mask.
Spoof. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not really a spoof of him. It's just putting him in there. It's Canadian. Yeah, you can't understand their humor.
All right, so your mask.
All right, let's see. There was an episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine where one of the characters was having this dream, this nightmare, and these really freaky masked figures were coming after her. And they would do this thing where it would start to take off the mask, but there'd be another one underneath. You know, it was like this little sort of trick photography. But I recently learned that it wasn't trick photography, that the producers hired a magician who used to do this as his stage act. So he'd keep pulling off masks, and there'd be another one underneath, and that was like his trick. And they brought him onto the show, and he did the trick as part of their scary dream sequence.
Wow! All right, very nice.
So, no CGI there.
None. All right, Daryl, I'm going to wrap this up.
I'm gonna wrap it up. All right. Well, I'm going to go with obviously dated material, whether that's movies or whatever, something that's obviously dated.
Do you have some obviously dated paraphernalia hanging out in your room or something?
Well, this is actually connected to the movie that I recently watched for the site that nobody wants to hear about, but are going to shortly.
Okay. All right. So, horribly dated. Okay. Let's try to think of any futuristic sci-fi movie from the 80s that predicted what 1997 would look like, you know? although I think Predator 2 got it pretty good. I think they're pretty close.
Job. And I love Predator 2, but it does have that.
okay, horribly dated. Let's jump out here.
Maybe this does or doesn't count, I don't know, but there's the 1970s Jack the Ripper movie with Michael Caine. And I sat down to watch that thinking, okay, it's a Victorian era, it's Jack the Ripper. But, man, everybody's – the hair, especially. The hair,
yes.
The manner of speech, and even their clothes to some extent just scream mid-1970s.
Yes, nice.
Mm-hmm. And it just completely takes you out of the movie. I don't think the Victorians actually had that much feathered hair.
Well, they had feathered hair, but I don't think at that level, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
You start to need propellants to get that kind of feathering, and yeah, that didn't come around until the mid-1970s.
How about the Police Academy movies?
Good.
Just because a lot of things going on there, right? So, I mean, I'm still a fan of the police. I could sit down and watch the Police Academy movie. Like, up to – Actually, I can't watch past anything post Steve Guttenberg. So,
like, well, that but does that actually counts Mission to Miami, doesn't it?
No, that was so he was there through the fourth one, Citizens on Patrol.
He was not in Mission to Miami.
He tapped out after assignment right. Miami Beach, I believe. Is the
or okay, whatever.
Correct answer you're looking for. But I don't know, just yeah. So I'll just everything from the policing work to like the jokes, like the repeated gay bar jokes. You know?
Oh, man.
Yeah, they had the long running Blue Oyster Cult joke, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and the police outfit with short shorts.
Yes, so Steve Guttenberg is rocking that for sure.
Right.
And everyone had their sweats, like a lot of sweatpants in that. You know.
The thing I haven't seen all of those movies, but the sequels that I have seen. There comes that moment where the movie stops so they can have the music video in the middle of the movie set to some song. And then that, because that would, of course, be sold to MTV, to show on MTV to sell the movie.
That's right.
And they would just kind of plug that right into the middle of the movie very shamelessly.
You know what always struck me as odd was that there was a Police Academy Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah, that never made sense. And it was with all the characters. I don't know about the voices, but all the characters were there.
I know. I mean, people remember that the first Police Academy had like nudity and stuff, you know? It's
right. It was a real R.
It was a hard R comedy.
Yeah, but it was also always on cable.
True. It was
yes.
And then much like our friend Mr. Krueger, it really turned into kind of broad mass, you know, humor kind of stuff, you know? So
yeah.
Everything got toned down. So, yeah. Oh, okay. Before we conclude. Okay, I'm going to have one more thing when we end. So,
all right, we finish this
you
up.
Wrap this up. Something just occurred to me I have to mention, but go ahead.
Okay.
All right, fair enough. So the movie that – the only thing I had to talk about tonight was a movie from 1980 – technically 1989 was its release date, but it's before that, as you'll see, called The Horror Show, produced by Sean Cunningham, who was the director and producer of – Friday the 13th, the original, and producer of plenty of horror movies through the years. And The Horror Show is basically – I'm trying to figure out whether it's a ripoff of Shocker or the precursor to Shocker. But one way or the other, it's basically Shocker.
Because if you're going to rip off something, you might as well go for Shocker.
You might as well. it's with Lance Henriksen as a cop. And anyway, his kids – at one point, one of them, the daughter who's Dee Dee Pfeiffer, is dancing in front of her mirror, brushing her hair next to a 7-foot-tall poster of INXS's Kick. In the next scene, they cut to her little brother, who is doing air guitar with a neon guitar above him, next to a 7-foot poster of Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction.
Excellent.
And there is a line in the movie where Dee Dee Pfeiffer scares her little brother or comes in and startles him, and he exclaims, "Don't you know not to surprise a dude listening to blasted Metallica on his headphones?"
Fantastic.
And so this is a movie that was filmed in 1987. Very clearly.
Yes.
Filmed in 1987.
Yes.
When Kick and Appetite for Destruction and Injustice for All were really super popular.
Now, and then as you talk about this, I think the other obvious answer to all of this is the entire series run, Mac, of 21 Jump Street.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
I mean, every single episode is its own time capsule from the 80s.
It really is, yeah.
I mean, the issues they, take on –
the issues right out of the news from that day and all the pop culture references is constant.
Yeah. So many. The fashion. Fantastic. But what, anyway, so what occurred to me, Daryl, interesting enough, is we tried to escape your terrible movie, but you snuck it in anyway.
No, I wasn't letting that happen.
I do have to say, here's what I spared you. Before we dialed up, I started watching Home Alone, The Holiday Heist. Yeah. This is what I just got 15 minutes into it, but it's like this really annoying kid who thinks his house is haunted, so he sets up a booby trap to catch the ghost. And his dad walks in, and his booby trap was a stun gun, like a taser stun gun that locked onto his dad and literally was sending thousands of volts into him for about 5 minutes. And then a tent fell on the dad. And then the dad just kind of brushed it off. And it was like, son, what's going on here?
Oh, young man.
He just got pumped full of unbelievable. So that's what I've got to look forward to. So I've got an hour and 15 minutes left of that.
You're in for a spanking, young man. You just tased. You just put 20,000 volts through me.
I mean, you're in for a spanking. Like, I'm not saying he should have murdered his son or anything, but you're going to have to, like, that's going to be tough to bounce back from.
I've seen lesser offenses in a movie in which a son gets murdered.
And I also now, the dad has electro powers, like the guy from Shocker.
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah, although, yeah, in the horror show, it works out kind of weird because even though it's the same issue with him getting, like, super electrocuted and not dying, and then in Shocker, he goes into the electrical wires. Mm-hmm. In the horror show, he—I mean, that makes sense on a certain level. In the horror show, he winds up manifesting himself out of Lance Henriksen's furnace.
Oh, okay, thank you. That's
so electricity turns to fire, turns to—I don't know. I don't really know, and I don't really know what I'm going to say in my review about this movie.
Now.
Doesn't make any damn sense.
You know who's in this terrible Home Alone movie, by the way? Malcolm McDowell.
Wow. Oh, well, Malcolm McDowell is a special kind of case for terrible movies.
That right there is cashing that check.
Yes, cash grab. Yeah.
I don't know that that guy has not just cashed a check in 35 years. I think he probably did Caligula and then realized, you know, acting's kind of for the birds. Just cash checks and do whatever anybody asks me to do. His sitcom with Rhea Perlman, a million things. His new set of ads with James Earl Jones.
We gotta. Let's curtail this podcast. Okay, we're done. We're not gonna get too deep into Michael McDowell's post-Caligula career. So I think we salvaged that to a semi-entertaining little segment. So thanks for tuning in and sticking with us if you did. Regular programming next week. So, Mac, Daryl, appreciate it. FridayFilibusterDVDBird.com is the email address. Mac, take us away.
Greetings, Starfire. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Xur and the Kodan Armada.